We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Bible study from A to Z. We're in the word atonement. This is the second session on it. If you will, turn to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we see here Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and explaining to him about salvation. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He's talking about spiritual birth. Because we know we are a Trinity, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are body, soul, and spirit. When we're born into this world, we are two parts alive, one part dead. We are dead spiritually. So you have to be born again. That part has to be born or brought back to life or quickened, as the scriptures say. And the only way that can happen is by accepting the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for us. He paid the price, and in that payment of price comes atonement. The price has been paid for that reconciliation. Then our spirit can become born again. As he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Making there's a difference in clarifying it for Nicodemus there about being born. In verse 8, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Like, here we got Nicodemus, a very high-ranking Pharisee, raised, studied Pharisaical, the priesthood, the Old Testament, the prophecies, all this, but yet still didn't have the real knowledge that we can have once we receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. The Holy Ghost comes into us, gives us knowledge and understanding of the Word of God that no one else has ever been able to have. Nicodemus didn't have that yet, of course, because he had not been blessed with the gift of the Holy Ghost at the time. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, a prophecy of him being lifted up on the cross and dying for our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That because of what he has done. Not because of what we did, but because of what he has done. And more famous of the verses here in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because of the work that he has done, he is the ultimate lamb, as we read about last time. He is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice that only had to be sacrificed once and for all mankind, all sins, all past, present, and future sins. He paid for all in one sacrifice. By God taking on flesh, coming down here, living amongst us some 33 years, being crucified, going down into the grave, risen again the third day, stayed around some 40 days preaching and teaching, and then ascended to the Father. Now he is our high priest, there creating that circle that we can now once again be reconciled with God, because when we believe that Jesus Christ did that and receive it, He comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, then we have that connection. Then we are reconciled. What we do with that will determine our relationship with God, whether we listen to Him or gag Him and push Him off to the side, ignore Him, or whether we start listening. The more you listen to Him, the more you obey Him, the more He'll speak to you, and the closer your walk will be with God. But it is all based on His work, not us. We don't turn around and make another sacrifice. We don't sacrifice Him over and over. It's one time by Him to cover all sins. In Romans chapter 3, we are all born of flesh, born a descendant of Adam. Therefore, we are born into this world a sinner. Whether you do anything really horrible in the eyes of man or yourself or not, you're still born into this world a sinner and need to be saved and receive the free gift of salvation the Lord has available to us. Because it says, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." This means a payment for the sin. That's where the atonement comes in. "Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Note that it is not by our righteousness, it's not by our works, it's not that we can be so good and so holy and so perfect and then we can start coming to church. When we get ourselves really cleaned up and walking right, then we're allowed to come to church. No, it ain't like that. It's not based on our works. It's based on the faith and the trust in what Jesus Christ has done. Because we all just a bunch of filthy sinners, as He just said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it's based on the payment that He has made. And by His righteousness, we have that remission of sins. Verse 26, "To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It's like you cannot brag that I have been so perfect, I have lived such a great life and done so many wonderful things, I have salvation. Don't work that way. It's based on what Jesus Christ did, not what we did. That's what He's emphasizing here. So He's by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. It's our faith in what Jesus Christ has done, our receiving, the free gift that's laid right out there for the taking. That's what cleanses us. That's what gives us justification. That's what gives us righteousness. It's His righteousness that's on us. The atonement, reconciliation, all that. It's all wrapped into the faith in what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Even though it's all based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean we need to just ignore law. He has the law. If you study the law is for our benefit. All of the ordinances were all for our benefit. It doesn't benefit God for us to follow all the commandments, the ordinances of the law. In no way. Everything that's in there helps us. So that's something we should do anyway. And to show our respect, our love to Him, you follow the law. Because it says, do we then make void the law through faith? Because we have faith, and that's what our salvation is based on, the faith, not on following the law. Should we just ignore the law? No. It says, God forbid. We establish law. we live as Christians. We want to live as godly as possible. How do we live godly? We listen to the Holy Ghost and we follow His commandments. The two great ones primarily, and that is to put God first and to love others as yourself. If you put God first, love others as yourself, then you're not going to wind up stealing from them and killing them and all the other stuff that comes along with that. So it all falls under those two main commandments. Okay, now let's go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." The hard times that we go through, they work patience in you. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we display our faith in God in the hard times, that is what He wants to have. That is what He wants to see. That displays our hope. That displays our faith. That displays our trust in God and in His authority. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It wasn't because all these people decided to be so good and followed the law so well that finally He made it available. No. He commended His love toward us, and yet we were yet sinners. Even though we did not deserve it, Christ died for us. Verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Because of what He has done, we finally have the atonement because of His work. Because if you go all the way back, what happened? Adam and Eve, the sin in the garden, that severed the relationship, that killed the spirit. And all through the ages, from Adam all the way up to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, all of those practices of the animal sacrifices were looking forward to the event that would occur when Jesus Christ took on all sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, as being the ultimate lamb, the ultimate sacrifice. Back in the Old Testament days, the atonement came through the obedience and faith and trust in what they were doing to provide them for forgiveness. But now we have the trust and the faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's not that we have to go out and get us a bullock or a lamb or any other animal to sacrifice and go to the temple and give it to the high priest and he sacrifices it for our atonement. We don't have to do that anymore because it's been done by Jesus Christ, the great high priest for all mankind. Even those filthy sinners out there that will never come to know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, He paid the price for their sins as well. All in that one action that He did. But they will not go to heaven unless they receive it. It's like, okay, it's all bought and paid for. It's sitting right here in front of you. Come and get it. He's not going to go say, here, take it and force you to have it. You got to have faith and trust and the boldness to step up and receive it and take it in. And when you do that, the Holy Ghost comes into you. And then you have the atonement that He's talking about here. You have the reconciliation. We are once again connected with God. The Holy Ghost directly to Him. over in Ephesians chapter 2, if you will turn over there. The entire chapter I recommend you to read, but let's bump it on down to verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. This predestinated is He already has figured out and predetermined that you have an opportunity. It would be His will that all mankind would come to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean that He's already chose who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. We make that decision to receive the free gift or to turn it down. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Just like the blood sacrifice of the past, His blood sacrifice gives us the opportunity for the salvation, trust in what He has done, through grace, which is that unmerited favor, isn't because we earned it, isn't because we worked hard enough to receive it, it's because of what He has given to us. And then, in verse 13, in whom ye also trust... Well, wait a minute, let's back it up to verse 12. And in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you trusted in Jesus Christ, you were sealed. That's permanent. Even if you mess up, even if you decide that you're going to fall away, you get distracted because of the woes of this life in the world today. You might be tempted by this or that and get off the straight and narrow. That doesn't sever the relationship that you have with God. That muffles it, that can suppress it. You can become miserable because you don't have that, but you haven't lost the connection. He adopts you as one of His children, and that never changes. Even if you become a disobedient child, you are still one of His children, and you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. And that seal cannot be broken. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That is permanent and total. We will always have that when we receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, even if we mess up. Does that mean, well, you go out and get saved, and then you just go back in the world and do all you want to and be just as sinful as could be, and you think, well, okay, I got my ticket punched, and I can just go back in the world and be just as evil as I ever was? If you have that attitude when you came into it, then you never got saved to begin with. But if you sincerely gave your heart over to Jesus Christ one time in your life, that sealed you. Even if this world has caused you to distract, or devil has tempted you in one way or the other, or your own selfishness or your own lust or your own greed or whatever it might be, caused you to get off the straight and narrow, you have an opportunity to come back and become reconciled with Jesus Christ again. If you will, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. In the little epistle, 1 John chapter 2. We see, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Directions that we have in the Scriptures, guidelines, we have so much to go by. And listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll keep you on the straight and narrow. And you have all this available. And it's so that we sin not. And if any man sin, like, okay, we know that there's a possibility you're going to mess up. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. What's an advocate? He's someone that will stand in the middle. He's someone that will argue your case. He's someone that will bring the issues up. He's someone that will help and assist you. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can talk to Him by the power of the Holy Ghost that is within us, making that connection, connecting that conduit. We have that connection once again with the Heavenly Father to be able to get things right. And He is the propitiation for our sins. He's already paid for them. Even the sins that we're going to commit before this night is over, or the sins we're going to commit tomorrow, He paid for them. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Like I mentioned before, even the filthy sinners out there will never come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. He paid the price for those. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. So we have this so much available to us. The atonement, because of what Jesus Christ has provided us, because of His finished work. And then if we goof up, which we all have, we got an opportunity to come back into the good graces of God by taking it and giving it to the Lord, asking forgiveness for it, and Jesus Christ will plead our case with the Heavenly Father to get us back into the right relationship that we could have and walk the way we should walk by following His commandments to bring honor and glory to Him. And that's what He's talking about here. All right, let's look back here where we see how He is a high priest, which is what He's speaking of when He says He's our advocate, the one that will plead our case, just like the high priest used to do of the Old Testament times. And in Hebrews chapter 7, pick it up in verse 14, it reads, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of the tribe of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest." This is talking about the Melchizedek, the priesthood that was already established before the law was even given to Moses, "who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment," because the commandment was that the priests would be of the Levitical bloodline, "but after the power of an endless life." The fact that Jesus Christ could take that position as great high priest. "For He testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did." The following of law all those years didn't make anything perfect. But by the bringing in of the hope, which is Jesus Christ, He was able to make things perfect. "By the which we draw nigh unto God." Because of what He did, we can now draw close unto God, is what He's speaking of. "And inasmuch as not without an oath He was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this was an oath by Him that said unto Him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Speaking of Jesus. "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." There's no way all of those animals through all those centuries could compare to what Jesus Christ could do for us in His shed blood on the cross. "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Him becoming our priesthood is a permanent position, never to go away like the other priests. They would die, but Jesus Christ will not. "Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Like we were just reading about in John. Always there to make intercession. Always there to plead our case. Always there to say, "I paid for that sin. He has forgiveness for that." "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, and then for the people's. For this He did once, when He offered up Himself." He only has to do it once, doesn't have to do it over and over. "For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which
was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Forever, our great high priest, always been able to have intercession, make intercession for us, that atonement. If we just take it to him and ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us. Because as it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we'll have that atonement recognized and reconciliation and have the relationship that we should have with God by way of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. It can always get us back on track. It can always reveal to us the information that we need to be able to grow closer to you and walk the walk you want us to walk. We thank you so much for your word. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into your scriptures, to find that faith-building knowledge that comes along with digging into there. And give us the boldness to proclaim you as our Lord and Savior this week, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.